Hi, I'm Philip Anthony Albertelli, and welcome to The Week in Doubt, episode 64. Today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/theweekindoubt. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Before we start, I'd like to give a shout out to Mark Anthony Songer for liking the Week in Doubt Facebook page. I believe he's also friends with my friend Shelby, who I've mentioned on the show before, so double shout out. All right, it's going to be a rather clip-laden show. I'm feeling a little lazy this week, so I'm going to let some others do the heavy lifting. I've got a clip from the most recent episode of Real Time with Bill Maher, and also a clip from The Young Turks. Both clips touch on a recent story regarding a somewhat controversial statement made by Pope Francis. It seems that some believers, including some Vatican representatives, have found the Pope a little too lenient concerning his views on atheism and what it takes to get into heaven. I'll play the Young Turks clip first. If you're not familiar, the Young Turks is an online news show, and they also have a version of the show that airs weeknights on Current TV as well.
Well, look, you know, when you discuss religion, the whole thing's fun and awesome. So we go to the Vatican next and keep the fun going. Now, Pope Francis the other day shocked a lot of people by saying that atheists might be able to get into heaven. In fact, he said, even the atheists, that's a quote from him, have been redeemed, he said, again, quote, with the blood of Christ. So Christ has redeemed even the atheists. And he talked about how we will meet you basically in heaven. And everybody got excited. Oh my God. The only people who didn't get excited are atheists who don't believe in heaven anyway. So they're like, I got bad news for you, Pope Francis. I'm not going to meet you there because it doesn't exist. But nonetheless, it was a great way of reaching out. And it was more welcoming and more open-minded. So I was in favor of it. I was among the people who were excited. Now, of course, the Vatican is saying, roll that back. Backpedal. Spokesperson for the Vatican, Reverend Thomas Rosicca, comes out and writes, all salvation comes from Christ, the head, through the church, which is his body. Hence, they cannot be saved who, knowing the church is founded by Christ and necessary for salvation, would refuse to enter her or remain in her. Am I the only one who thinks that sounds dirty? Okay. You have to enter the body, and you have to remain in her for quite some time. And then you have to come back out and then go back into her and then make sure that you're perfectly loyal. All right, anyway, the Vatican, they can't get that stuff out of their head. Stop talking about people's bodies. But the bottom line in this is they're saying, no. What the Pope said? Well, you see, what had happened was he didn't quite mean that. He meant, you atheists, trust me, you're still going to hell. Now, the atheist reaction to this again is, didn't care the first time, don't care this time. Hell also doesn't exist, so enjoy your fantasy land, but not altogether that interested. But it is weird that the Vatican is correcting the Pope. Well, I was led to believe that that gentleman was infallible. Now, Huffington Post explains in the story, the Vatican statement seemed to attempt to do damage control for Francis' remarks, emphasizing that his job is more to speak well than to provide an indisputable interpretation of the Bible. Oh, damn. Did they just turn him into a spokesperson? Did they just turn him into a communications director? They seem to have demoted him pretty significantly. My understanding was this man speaks to God. I know all the Catholics are going to give me all this details. Like, no, you don't understand. We say, like, in order for him to be infallible, it has to be a Wednesday between 4:30 and 5:30 in the afternoon. And if you're having tea, that's when he's talking to God, and that's when it counts. He's not generally infallible. Oh, get out of here, man. He's the freaking Pope. He's supposed to be the guy who's talking to God. And now Vatican comes and says, maybe he speaks well, blah, 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 blah. That's why we hired him. But he doesn't have an interpretation. Well, if he doesn't have the interpretation of the Bible, then why the hell are we listening to him? Why are we running so many parts of our world based on what the Pope said? Pope said don't use a condom. Pope said don't have an abortion. Yeah, Pope said atheists are going to heaven. Never mind, the Pope doesn't count. Who gives a damn about the Pope? That makes no sense. Now let me read from the statement directly. Pope Francis is first and foremost a seasoned pastor and preacher who has much experience in reaching people. He's a people person, apparently. His words are not spoken in the context of a theological faculty or academy, nor in interreligious dialogue or debate. Those are all your exemptions and exceptions. He would be infallible if he was in a theological faculty, but once he steps out of the faculty and he's no longer involved in the interreligious dialogue or debate, he loses his magic powers. Go, who believes this? As you're hearing this whole story, you're beginning to wonder, maybe the atheists have a point. Maybe these guys don't really have it figured out as to who's going to heaven or hell, or whether those two things exist at all. Because remember, the people who told us about heaven and hell before were other popes who interpreted that same Bible, and we were told they had the definitive interpretation. Come to find out, no one's really quite sure whether we're going to heaven or hell. I got a pretty good idea, but then I'm a bad guy, I'm agnostic. I'm pretty sure if I see Pope Francis at all, it'll be pretty much in this graphic here. And maybe on earth, but it certainly ain't gonna be in heaven or hell. Oh, by the way, what a raw deal that would be if he wound up in hell. After all that time and wearing all those red shoes, and then come sit next to me. I'm like, Pope Francis, what happened here? He's like, yeah, you remember that one time when I said atheists could come here? Man, God didn't take that well. And here I am stuck with your ass. Man, we don't know how God makes those decisions. But all the folks who are trying so hard to please the sky god, there's some chance you don't really know what the Picard thinks. All right, Steve-O.
All right, if heaven is full of Catholic priests, do you really want to go there?
Oh, can you imagine?
Do you really want to go there? I mean, if you like to be followed by creepy old men, I guess you would. But otherwise, I don't want to go there.
Yeah. No. Look, overall, forget the molestation and stuff, okay? I'm a grown-ass man. Yeah, you come try and see what happens, right? But can you imagine a duller place with a cupid with a ba-ding, ba-ding, ba-ding on the harp? Who listens to a harp anymore, right? I mean, look, the whole thing sounds dreadfully dull, all with these do-gooders who've never had any fun in their life. I don't know, I might rather hang out with Rob Ford down in hell. You know, the mayor of Toronto smoking crack. Hey, man, at least he's having a good time. Rob Ford, we're not going to get into him today, but I loved one story I read about him. They're like, he's too fat to be on crack. They're like, if you're on crack, you want crack all the time. You're not even thinking about eating. The crack diet, not one I would suggest, but okay.
All right, so that was Cenk Uygur, the host of The Young Turk, speaking there. And I think I agree with just about everything he said. In particular, I agree that it was a nice gesture on behalf of Pope Francis to kind of reach out to the atheist or non-believer community. But I also agree that it doesn't really matter much since we don't believe in a literal afterlife. More specifically, a literal heaven or hell. So the fact that the Pope would graciously announce that he thinks that we too, as non-believers, will be accepted into what we deem his imaginary afterlife, it's a nice gesture, but it doesn't really change things on our end, other than the fact that it shows perhaps an unprecedented amount of acceptance by a Catholic Pope. And I think perhaps that's what makes the story so exciting, is that not only is it such a blatant show of tolerance for non-believers, but it's also a Pope expressing an opinion that seems to go against church doctrine, where traditionally it's supposed to be through Jesus that you attain everlasting life, or through the belief in Jesus. And as Cenk pointed out comically, you can tell it kind of stirred things up over at the Vatican because you had Vatican representatives backpedaling and trying to do damage control, even to the point of trying to depict the Pope as more of a spokesperson than an infallible intermediary of the divine. So for those of you not familiar with the concept of papal infallibility, I'll read a few paragraphs from Wikipedia. I know Wikipedia. I've always found it a pretty sound source, actually. And I'm working on the fly here, so cut me some slack. Okay, so here I go. Papal infallibility is a dogma of the Catholic Church which states that, in virtue of the promise of Jesus to Peter, the Pope is preserved from the possibility of error when, in the exercise of his office as shepherd and teacher of all Christians, in virtue of his supreme apostolic authority, he defines a doctrine concerning faith or morals to be held by the whole church. This doctrine was defined dogmatically in the First Vatican Council of 1869 to 1870, but had been defended before that, appearing already in medieval tradition and becoming the majority opinion at the time of the Counter-Reformation. According to Catholic theology, there are several concepts important to the understanding of infallible divine revelation: sacred scripture, sacred tradition, and the sacred magisterium. The infallible teachings of the Pope are part of the sacred magisterium, which also consists of ecumenical councils and the ordinary and universal magisterium. In Catholic theology, papal infallibility is one of the channels of the infallibility of the Church. The infallible teachings of the Pope must be based on, or at least not contradict, sacred tradition or sacred scripture. So I guess in fairness, the Church probably could argue that the Pope's comments do go against sacred tradition or sacred scripture. In that sense, they're not protected or don't fall underneath the umbrella of papal infallibility. Nevertheless, it's still a pretty wild story. You have the Pope expressing a surprising amount of empathy or leniency towards non-believers, and you have the Church in an official statement contradicting the Pope and perhaps even downplaying his importance or significance. And I also agree with Cenk, as I've expressed on the show many times, that we're just dealing with man-made dogma here. And it kind of calls to mind an episode I did recently, perhaps it was before last week's episode, on the Council of Nicaea, and how, for me, the Council of Nicaea was always a prime example of the man-made nature of religion. You literally had a gathering of bishops, a gathering of flesh and blood human beings like you or I, trying to come to some consensus upon the nature of Christ's divinity. Was he equal with the Father, lesser than the Father? Were they one and the same? Things like that. And then, of course, as I always talk about, contrary to what I think, unfortunately, many laymen think, the Bible isn't one book with one author. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament are cobbled together out of various writings by various authors, and along the way, men decided which books would be in and which books would be out. And then, say, in the case of St. Augustine, you have people speculating on the fate of unbaptized infants, where do they go when they die, purgatory, etc. It's all what seems to me quite obviously man-made. And here we are in the year 2013, and we have the Pope and the Church at loggerheads over what it takes to get into what I would deem to be a fictitious or imaginary heaven. Who knows? There could be an afterlife. There could be a heaven. But one thing I'm pretty darn sure of is that our mortal concepts of it are all man-made. And hearing supposed holy men argue over the minutiae of such man-made concepts strikes me as absurd. But anyway, I can tell I'm not firing on all eight today, so I'll now move on to the promised Bill Maher clip.
I want to ask you and everybody else about something that happened this week that was important to me, because I'm an atheist. I don't think there's any... Thank you, that's okay. But you know, people always say, you know, when somebody says something obvious, oh, is the Pope Catholic? I think he might not be. I think the Pope might be an atheist. There, I've said it. Like I think Obama is, because he said this week, Pope Frank said, the Lord has redeemed all of us, not just Catholics, even the atheists. And I was like, I am gonna book my flight to heaven right now. And then, of course, it's funny because, you know, it's just like politics. The hierarchy at the Vatican was like, what the fuck did this guy just... You could almost see them preparing the poison, you know. It's like, luckily we got a spare pope. This guy, ixnay on the... You know, one of the key things in this religion and most religions is monopoly, only through us. Even hippie Jesus said that, only through me. So this guy's saying everybody gets into heaven. So then they had to walk it back, and he said, the Vatican said, oh, I don't, you have what?
The Vatican spokesman quickly intervened. Father Thomas Rosica said, quote, people who truly know the Catholic Church cannot be saved if they refuse to enter or remain in her.
Remain in her?
Yeah, that would be, you think, presumably without using a condom. If you wonder if they ever vet any of the statements.
Well, it made me think that, you know, when I was making Religious and we talked to a lot of priests, and we found out that a lot of priests really aren't believers. They do it because, no, some of them do it for the sex. That's true. There's a lot of good ones, and they do it because it's a way to help people, and they know they can't tell the masses that it's all a crock. But they themselves don't believe it. And I think Pope Frank, you know, what's his real name?
Francis.
It's Francis.
No, what's his Argentinian name? It's like Julio.
It's really long.
It's Julio Imbroglio. It sounds like a very expensive pair of shoes. I know that. And he's a sophisticated guy from that era, and I think he is. I'm telling you, I think the Pope's an atheist.
You know, I think as a progressive, the Pope kind of rocks because he's been great on so many issues.
You know,
this Pope
already?
Yeah.
It's been like a week.
Okay.
What has he done?
So he's already chastised austerity in Europe. He's criticized driving all these people into unemployment and all the cuts that people are really suffering from.
He's made
arguments about corporate profits versus poverty, that we should care more about how people are suffering and care less about how banks are doing.
Oh, they're going to poison him.
We should embrace his works and the fact that he's been actually a strong voice on really important issues. He's criticized slave wages in Bangladesh. I mean, in just two months, he's been a refreshing change from where the church has been on these issues of, you know, actually doing good by the
Pope Frank, everybody. Right. Pope Frank.
Although, you know, even all of that is impressive, but even more importantly, Pope Frank did also say that sometimes he falls asleep while he's praying. I thought that's my guy.
Just officially, I'm still calling him Pope Francis.
Yes.
Just so everybody knows, I don't know Pope Frank is the official term yet, you know. Frankie...
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting.
Name.
As a religious guy without a church, I mean, I think there's a lot nice to be said for the Pope. And when I talk to Catholics, they, you know, some of them, even who are critical of a church that's been moving leftward in some ways, really think that he does.
What does that mean, a religious guy without a church?
So I was raised by a couple of kind of heretical Christians and never went to church. And so, you know, I think there are a growing number of Americans who are religious but don't feel at home in any particular church. I think that's an interesting development.
So you believe the story, but not the church?
Not the literal. It's not a biblical literal thing. It is sort of like a teachings of Jesus sort of thing.
Oh, so Jesus does the philosophy.
And God is real, and the soul exists, and so on and so forth.
Oh, well, you lost me.
Yeah.
Okay. What'd you think of Wolf Blitzer? Did anybody see Wolf Blitzer? Do we have the Wolf Blitzer after the tornado in Oklahoma talked to this woman, and he probably was out talking to hurricane victims all day, and all of them said, you know, the good Lord, and Wolf Blitzer, who I think is a Jew, so he was primed, and he was like, Jesus Christ, I want to get home. Let me get this person to say the Lord did this, and the Lord's a great guy. And this is what happened, because the lady set him straight.
Well, we're happy you're here. You guys did a great job.
Yeah.
And I guess you got to thank the Lord, right?
Yeah.
Do you thank the Lord for that split-second decision?
I'm actually an atheist.
Oh, you are. All right. Perfect. But you made the right call.
Yeah. Yep. We are here, and you know, I don't blame anybody for thanking the Lord.
What did you think of that? I thought that was pretty amazing.
You don't have to be an atheist to think that God cares less about your property and maybe more about your soul, right? So, you know, you don't have to thank the Lord if your house is still standing. I don't think that's what religion's all about.
I don't think you should presume people's religion or lack of religion. I think that's what really got him in trouble. Like, why does he think that just because he's in Oklahoma, everyone's Christian, you know?
No, I know.
I mean, it's also, just like, why just assume that?
Yeah, what do you say to your neighbor whose house was leveled?
It's obviously so completely arbitrary.
And who made the tornado?
Well, you see.
Well, actually, the oil companies may have helped in making the tornado.
The media.
Okay.
Who made the tornado? Indeed, probably the best point made in that clip. And one of the other guests, the guy who described himself as a religious person without a church, seems to express that he's not surprised that God doesn't really care about property. But what about physical well-being? Was it 20-something odd people died as a result of that tornado? And was it, I'm just going off the top of my head now, I can't remember the numbers exactly. I think at least 9 of them were children. I remember the night of the tornado, those numbers were doubled. At first, people thought there were 50-some-odd deaths. Then, fortunately, it ended up being less than half that. And doesn't your property, in a sense, tie into your physical well-being? Don't you need a roof over your head to protect you from the elements? God, and I say this facetiously, I'm a non-believer, but it would seem that the God they believe in was wiping out property and human life. And there always seems something rather arrogant to me about the position that believers will often take after a tragedy, that the Lord spared me or the Lord spared my house. What about the fact that your neighbor's house was leveled? What's that say about them and their importance or relationship to God? I remember the Young Turks were once covering a news story about a school shooting. I think it took place at a Christian college, and a number of students were mowed down, and one of the girls who survived credited her survival to the Lord. And, well, what about the students who died? Weren't they as worthy of God's protection? And I've talked about on the show sometimes about the kind of seductive belief in what I refer to as hidden hands. I'm a admirer of the now deceased author, Joseph Campbell. Joseph Campbell wasn't really a religious guy. I don't think he believed in religion literally, but like myself, he was someone that was intoxicated by and fascinated by mythology, by symbolism, things like that. And he would sometimes talk about hidden hands, this feeling that, you know, if you're following your bliss, if you're on the right path, it's almost like things come together for you, like you're being guided by these hidden hands. And I find that to be a kind of seductive idea. But one thing that makes me skeptical even of that type of belief, a belief that you're being guided or in synchronicity or something like that, is what about the people, all the innocent people that perish who didn't seem to be under any kind of protection, divine protection, or didn't seem to be benefiting from the guidance of hidden hands, say when a hurricane or a tidal wave, a tsunami or something, a natural disaster strikes, and you have families, children wiped out by the scores or hundreds, you know, where were their hidden hands? If I think that there's hidden hands helping me survive my ride home on the highway, what about the person whose SUV tumbles over and ends up dying? You know, where were their hidden hands? So I think it's always important to keep things like that in perspective. I think we're almost wired, maybe it's a survival mechanism to want to believe that there is some kind of higher power, some kind of guiding force or principle looking out or for us or guiding us. But there is something, I think, almost inherently narcissistic or arrogant about it, about that type of view, even though I think society usually judges that type of view as virtuous, just as society seems to deem faith as inherently virtuous. But if you think about it, if you were to blindly believe in something in any other area of your life, you'd probably be considered gullible. But with that being said, I'm running out of steam. But I think those were a couple of good clips, and I even managed to get some of my own commentary in there. So once again, this has been yet another episode of The Week in Doubt. You can like the show on Facebook. You can watch the YouTube uploads on the Week in Doubt YouTube channel. You can subscribe to the show or rate the show through either iTunes or Podbean. And as always, thanks for listening.